Hair clung in wisps. Donald took Thurman's hands and placed them together. He looped the cord around Thurman's wrists, threaded it between his hands and around the loops of cord, then cinched a knot to draw the loops tight. Donald stood back and watched his wrinkled eyelids for any sign of life. Thurman's lips moved. They parted and seemed to take a first experimental gasp. It was like watching the dead become reanimated, and Donald appreciated for the first time the miracle of these machines. He coughed into his fist as Thurman stirred. The old man's eyes fluttered open, melted frost tracking from their corners, lending him a degree of false humanity. Wrinkled hands came up to wipe away the crust, and Donald knew what that felt like. Lids that wouldn't fully part, that felt as though they'd grown together. A grunt spilled out as Thurman struggled with the cord. He came to more fully, and saw that all was not right. "Be still," Donald told him. He placed a hand on the old man's forehead, could feel the chill still in his flesh. "Easy."
"Anna,"
Thurman whispered. He licked his lips, and Donald realized he hadn't even brought water, hadn't brought the bitter drink. There was no doubting what he was there to do. "Can you hear me?" he asked. Thurman's eyelids fluttered open again, his pupils dilated. He seemed to focus on Donald's face, eyes flicking back and forth in stunted recognition.
"Son?"
His voice was hoarse. "Lie still," Donald told him, even as Thurman turned to the side and coughed into his bound hands. He peered at the cord knotted around his wrists, his expression confused. Donald turned and checked the door in the distance. "I need you to listen to me."
"What's going on here?"
Thurman gripped the edge of the pod and tried to pull himself upright. Donald fished into his pocket for the pistol. Thurman gaped at the black steel as the barrel was leveled on him. His awareness thawed in an instant. He remained perfectly still, only his eyes moving, as he met Donald's gaze.
"What year is it?"
he asked. "Another 200 years before you kill us all," Donald said. The barrel trembled with hatred. He wrapped his other hand around the grip and took half a step back. Thurman was weak and bound, but Donald was taking no chances. The old man was like a coiled snake on a cold morning. Donald couldn't help but think of what he would be capable of as the day warmed. Thurman licked his lips and studied Donald. Curls of steam rose from the old man's shoulders.
"Anna told you,"
he finally said. Donald had a sadistic urge to tell him that Anna was dead. He felt a prideful twinge and wanted to insist that he'd figured it out for himself. He simply nodded instead.
"You have to know, this is the only way,"
Thurman whispered.
"There are 1,000 ways," Donald said.
He moved the gun to his other hand and dried his sweaty palm on his overalls. Thurman glanced at the gun, then searched the room beyond Donald for help. After a pause, he settled back against the pod. Steam rose from within the unit, but Donald could see him begin to shiver against the cold.
"I used to think you were trying to live forever," Donald said.
Thurman laughed. He inspected the knotted cord once more, looked at the needle and tube hanging from his arm.
"Just long enough."
"Long enough for what? To whittle humanity down to nothing? To let one of these silos go free and then sit here and kill the rest?"
Thurman nodded. He pulled his feet closer and hugged his shins. He looked so thin and fragile without his overalls on, without his proud shoulders thrown back. You saved all these people just to kill most of them. And us as well.
Thurman whispered a reply.
Louder, Donald said.
The old man mimed taking a drink. Donald showed him the gun. It was all he had. Thurman tapped his chest and tried to speak again, and Donald took a wary step closer.
Tell me why, Donald said. I'm the one in charge here. Me. Tell me or I swear I'll let everyone out of their silos right now.
Thurman's eyes became slits.
Fool, he hissed. They'll kill each other.
His voice was barely audible. Donald could hear all the cripods around them humming. He stepped even closer, more confident with each passing moment that this was the right thing to do.
I know what you think they'll do to one another, Donald said. I know about this great cleanse, this reset.
He jabbed the gun at Thurman's chest. I know you see these silos as starships taking people to a better world. I've read every note and memo and file you have access to, but this is what I want to hear from you before you die. Donald felt his legs wobble. A coughing fit seized him. He fumbled for his cloth, but pink spittle struck the silver pod before he could cover his mouth. Thurman watched. Donald steadied himself, tried to remember what he'd been saying.
I want to know why all the heartache, Donald said,
his voice scratchy, his throat on fire.
All the miserable lives coming and going. The people down here you plan on killing or never waking. Your own daughter.
He searched Thurman's face for some reaction.
Why not freeze us for 1,000 years and wake us up when it's done?
I know what I helped you build. I want to know why we couldn't sleep through it all. If you wanted a better place for us, why not take us there? Why the suffering?
Thurman remained perfectly still.
Tell me why, Donald said.
His voice cracked, but he pretended to be okay. He lifted the barrel, which had drooped.
Because no one can know, Thurman finally said. It has to die with us.
What has to die?
Thurman licked his lips.
Knowledge. The things we left out of the legacy. The ability to end it all with the flip of a switch.
Donald laughed.
You think we won't discover them again? The means to destroy ourselves?
Thurman shrugged his naked shoulders. The steam rising from them had dissipated.
Eventually, which is a longer time than right now.
Donald waved his gun at the pods all around him.
And so, all this goes as well? We're supposed to choose one tribe, one of your starships to land, and everything else is shut down? That's the pact you made?
Thurman nodded.
Well, someone broke your pact, Donald said. Someone put me here in your place. I'm the shepherd now.
Thurman's eyes widened. His gaze traveled from the gun to the badge clipped on Donald's collar. Clattering teeth were silenced by the clenching and unclenching of his jaw.
No, he said.
I never asked for this job,
Donald said, more to himself than to Thurman. He steadied the barrel.
For any of these jobs?
Me neither,
Thurman replied. And Donald was again reminded of those prisoners and those guards. This could be him in that pod. It could be anyone standing there with that gun. It was the system. There were 100 other things he wanted to ask or say. He wanted to tell this man how much like a father he'd been to him. But what did that mean when fathers could be as abusive as they were loving? He wanted to scream at Thurman for the damage he'd done to the world. But some part of Donald knew the damage had been done long before and that it was irreversible. And finally, there was a part of him that wanted to beg for help, to free this man from his pod. A part that wanted to take his place, to curl up inside and go back to sleep. A part that found being the prisoner was so much easier than remaining on guard. But his sister was up above, recovering. They both had more questions that needed answering, and in a silo not far away, a transformation was taking place, the end of an uprising, and Donald wanted to see how that played out. All this and more raced through Donald's mind. It wouldn't be long before Dr. Wilson returned to his desk and possibly glanced at a screen just as the right camera cycled through, and even as Thurman's mouth parted to say something, Donald realized that waking the old man to hear his excuses had been a mistake. There was little to learn here. Thurman leaned forward.
"Donnie," he said.
He reached out with bound wrists for the pistol in Donald's hand. His arms moved slowly and feebly, not with the hope, Donald didn't think, of snatching the gun away, but possibly with the desire to pull it close, to press it against his chest or his mouth, or the way Victor had. Such was the sadness in the old man's eyes. Thurman reached past the lip of the pod and groped for the gun, and Donald very nearly handed it to him, just to see what he would do with it. He pulled the trigger instead. He pulled the trigger before he could regret it. The bang was unconscionably loud. There was a bright flash, a horrid noise echoing out across 1,000 sleeping souls, and then a man slumping down into a coffin. Donald's hand trembled. He remembered his first days in office. All this man had done for him, that meeting very early on. He had been hired for a job for which he was barely qualified. He had been hired for a job he could not at first discern. That first morning, waking up a congressman, realizing he and only a handful of others stood at the helm of a powerful nation, had filled him with as much fear as accomplishment. And all along, he had been an inmate, asked to erect the walls of his own asylum. This time would be different. This time he would accept responsibility and lead without fear. Him and his sister, in secret. They would find out what was wrong with the world and fix it. Restore order to all that had been lost. An experiment had begun in another silo, a changing of the guard, and Donald intended to see the results. He reached up and closed the lid on the pod. There was pink spittle on its shiny surface. Donald coughed once and wiped his mouth. He stuffed the pistol in his pocket and walked away from the pod, his heart racing from what he'd done. And the pod, with a dead man inside, it quietly hummed. Silo 17. The year 2345. Year 34. Chapter 101. Solo worked the rope through the handles of the empty plastic jugs. They rattled together and made a kind of sonorous music. He collected his canvas bag and stood there a moment, scratching his beard, forgetting something. What had he forgotten? Patting his chest, he made sure he had the key. It was an old habit from years ago that he couldn't shake. The key, of course, was no longer there. He had tucked it in a drawer when things no longer needed locking, when there was no one left to be afraid of. He took two bags of empty soup and veggie cans with him, hardly a dent in the massive pile of garbage. With his hands full and every step causing a clang and a clatter, he carried his things down the dark passage to the shaft of light at the far end. It took two trips up the ladder to unload everything. He passed between the black machines, many of which had gone silent over the years, succumbing to the heat, perhaps. The filing cabinet had to be moved before the door would open. The silo had no locks, and no people, but no dummies either. He pulled the heavy door,
could feel his father's presence, as always, he stepped out into the wide world, crowded with nothing but ghosts, and things so bad he couldn't remember them. The hallways were bright and empty. Solo waved to where he knew the cameras were as he passed. He often thought that he'd see himself on the monitors one day, but the cameras had quit working forever ago. And besides, there'd have to be two of him for that to happen. One to stand there and wave, another down by the monitors. He laughed at how silly he was. He was Solo. Stepping out on the landing brought fresh air and a troubling sense of height. Solo thought of the rising water. How long before it reached him? Too long, he thought. He would be gone by then. But it was sad to think of his little home under the servers full of water one day.